I want to begin reading in the 22nd chapter at the first verse. One of the most familiar stories of the Old Testament, and one of which you will all recognize as we read. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And so they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his thorns, or by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself hath I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. Thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Let's pray, and we'll ask God to just open up this portion of Scripture for us this morning. Father, we thank you for your holy word, and we approach it today for what it is, the word of the living God, all of it. We acknowledge that it's true, it's faithful, it's pure, it's forever eternal. We know that it's profitable for our understanding and our instruction in righteousness today. Now, Father, we know that your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, is on your word. That as your word is read and proclaimed and expounded, that your Spirit goes forth in it and ministers to the people that hear. I want to thank you today, Father, for your calling that's on my life as a preacher of God's Word. I thank you, Father, that along with that calling, you have anointed me to bring the Word of God clearly and boldly. I praise you that that which will come from my lips this morning, Father, will come under the unction of your Spirit. And I ask for that same unction, Father, for those that will be hearing today, that the Spirit of God would take the Word of God, minister it deep within each of our hearts, that it may take root there and grow there and produce much fruit for the kingdom of God. I pray, Father, that you would cause us to see this message today in a way that we've never seen it before, that you would make this word come alive for us today in a way that it has never lived in our hearts before. And I ask, Father, that you minister to your people, you minister to the flock, use me as your channel, as your instrument. In Jesus' holy name, I pray. Amen. I don't know how many of you had the same reaction that I did to this story. All the while I was growing up, and even until recent years, two questions always were in my mind. One, why would God ask a man to give up his only son? And secondly, why would the man ever do it? Have you ever wondered that? It's puzzling until you know Jesus Christ. It's puzzling until you've met God the Father. It's puzzling and perplexing until His Holy Spirit comes inside you and you begin to get an insight into the heart of God our Father. It's puzzling only until you've experienced the love of God Almighty. Then it's no puzzle. Then it's as clear as it can be. This Old Testament is full of types and shadows of God's purpose and plan for you and me and for His creation and His world. And the better I know God, the better I come to know His New Testament Word, the more alive becomes these Old Testament stories. Stories that I've heard ever since I've been a tiny little boy are just now really coming to life for me. Really beginning to come alive on the inside of me because I see the foreshadowing in those instances as to what God was working out in His ultimate purpose in Christ Jesus. We come today to observe the supper of the Lord Jesus Christ, His Last Supper. He said that He gave Himself a ransom for you and for me. As I read this story, I see the Lord Jesus all through it. The Word says that God tried Abraham, that He wanted to see what was in Abraham's heart. And He asked Abraham to take his only son. Abraham only had one son that was the son of the promise. Now we know Abraham had two sons. He had the son Ishmael by Hagar the slave, and he had the son Isaac by Sarah, the woman that God had given him. Ishmael, God had said to send away, that the promise of many seed was going to come through the son Isaac. And here in this passage of Scripture, God said to Abraham, take your only son. Isaac is the only one you've got. Take him. And take him to the mount at Moriah. And I'll show you where, and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice to me. Now look here at the second verse. Some have thought that Abraham didn't really care about his son. Some have thought that in the times that Abraham grew up, that it was common for parents to sacrifice their children to their gods. And yes, it was. And there are those that would say that this sacrifice of Abraham was not like it would be for you and me today, that if God were to say to you or to me, take your only son and take him up on the mount and sacrifice him, that it wouldn't hurt me or you as much as it did Abraham. Or rather, vice versa, it wouldn't hurt Abraham as much as it would us. That it was a different culture. But the Word of God says no. In the second verse, He says this, the words of God. And He said, take now thine son, thine only son, whom thou lovest. He said, take the son that you love. Take the child of the promise. Take the one on whom your love has been established. Abraham loved this boy like you love your own son, and perhaps more. Abraham waited 25 years to have a son according to the promise of God. God said Sarah would have him a son. Abraham waited 25 long years for that promise to come to fulfillment. As a matter of fact, he was 100 years old. His wife was 99. It was impossible for her to have a child. But God gave a son by natural childbirth to those two elderly people. Think ye that Abraham did not love this boy? The only son he had. The one he'd waited for so long. The one that God had promised. The one that came by miracle. And God said, the son that you love, I want you to take him to the mountaintop and sacrifice him. It's interesting to me that there seems to be no struggle there. None whatsoever with Abraham. It says he got up early the next morning. He took his son. He took a torch, he chopped some wood, he took a knife, and he took two of his servants to help him carry the material. And they set out for the place where God had said to go. When they got there, in verse 6, Abraham took the wood of the offering, and he laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both together. There are two types in this passage of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first type is the son, Isaac. Do you see here how Abraham took the wood for the offering, the burning, and put it on Isaac's back, and Isaac carried it up to the Mount Moriah? God put the cross on which Jesus would die on the back of his beloved son. And he carried that wooden cross to the hill at Calvary where he would die on it. Isaac, in the same way here, carried the wood to the top of the mountain that was going to make the fire in which he was going to die. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar upon the wood. You know, as I read that verse, I thought about Jesus. And I thought about how he went to the cross. I thought about the way he died. You know, he died without any crying. He died without any resistance. When he was in the garden at Gethsemane, he said, "If it be possible, Father, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, thy will be done, not my will." When he stood before Pilate said, "Don't you know I have the power of life and death over you?" And he said, "You have no power over me, save that which is given you by my Father God." There's no sign in this story of a struggle. When Abraham took Isaac and bound him and tied him down to the altar, he went willingly. He laid down there knowing that he was the sacrifice, knowing that he was the one that was going to die, knowing he was the one in whom the Father was going to plunge that knife to take his life's blood as an offering unto God. But he went willingly. In the same way that Jesus went to the cross for you and for me. He went willingly. He did not go by compulsion. He wasn't forced to go. He didn't have to go. He could not have gone if he desired to do so. He told Peter, "Don't you understand? I could have asked my Father for legions of angels to deliver me, and they would have sent them." He went willingly to the cross to die for you and for me. He didn't have to. He went willingly. In verse 10, Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He was going to do it. He was ready to do it. Can you see God's love in that? Some would say, "I don't understand a God. You say he's love. Why would he ask that man to kill his son?" He asked that man to kill his son so that you and I could know this morning what he did for you and for me. He asked Abraham to slay his only son so that you and I would have a glimpse, some understanding, just a bit of an awareness of what God has done for us in Jesus. I can almost see Abraham with the knife ready to come down and take the life of his son. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. He said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. It says that Abraham looked up, and he looked over in the bush, and there was a ram. Now you ask me how a ram would be found out on the top of Mount Moriah. And he found a ram, and he saw it was hooked up in the bushes with his horns, and he was bound up there, and he couldn't get loose. God had prepared the sacrifice. And this is the second type of the Lord Jesus. As I think about that day and what happened there that day, it's as if you and I were laying on that altar. It's as if you and I are bound with the ropes, laying down on that wood altar. It's as if you and I are about to die. Why? Because of the kind of lives we've lived. Why? Because we've sinned. Why? Because we've displeased God. Why? Because we've broken the holy law of a holy God. Why? Because God requires a blood sacrifice. Why? Because He does. You and I are laying there bound, ready to be offered for our own sins, for our own transgressions, for our own life. And God speaks out of heaven and He says, Wait! Wait a minute! Don't kill him! Don't do it! I've supplied a sacrifice. I have furnished an innocent lamb. I have supplied one. Look there in the bush. His name is Jesus. He's a spotless lamb. Take him and put him on the altar. Shed his blood and let the child go free. Let him go. Let him go. Let him be pardoned. Kill the lamb. And they went and took the lamb and offered him there to God. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. You know what that, how many of you know what that means? Jehovah Jireh. It's a Hebrew conjunction which means the Lord will provide. Jehovah God will provide. In this case, He provided the sacrifice for Abraham. In our case, He provides the sacrifice for us. That's what we're doing here this morning, is remembering what God has done for you and for me. And instead of allowing the knife to come down upon you and allowing the knife to come down upon me and condemning us to death because of our sins, because of our lives, the kind of lives that we've led, He brings the knife down upon Jesus. The Word of God says that the Lord was pleased to bruise Him. He died for our iniquities. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ. There was no reason for Him to die. I should have died. You should have died. The whole world should have died. There was no reason for Jesus to die. He had never done anything wrong. Nothing. He was absolutely clean, absolutely pure, absolutely holy, absolutely without sin. But God said, I love you. 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 And I sent my own son, the only one I have. I love him with all of my heart. But I love you enough to offer him for you. When you eat this bread this morning, it's bread. It is not physically the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's bread. You can see that, and I can see that. When you drink of this cup today, it's juice. It's not physically the blood of Jesus Christ. It's grape juice. But God has established this sacrament that we should eat of these physical means as remembrances, as signs and symbols of what Jesus has done for us. That God bruised His body, it was broken, so that yours might be whole. That He shed His blood, that yours might not have to be shed, that you might have everlasting life. And as we take of this bread and take of this cup, we remember the sacrifice of Jesus, the sacrificial lamb, the one that God, in His purpose, planned to be slain in your place. As you eat and drink today, what you remember is that because Jesus died, you live. And if Jesus had not died, you would. But because He did, you won't. He said, He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. That's the gospel. Jesus died. It's that simple. Jesus died so I wouldn't have to. Jesus died so that you wouldn't have to. Jesus died because God loved you enough and me enough to send His only Son. Now I want to say something to you, friends. I would not want to be in the position that I would stand before this God and say to Him, it didn't matter to me that you sent Jesus. It didn't matter to me that He died for me. I don't really care that you gave the Son of your love for me. I don't really care that He suffered for me. Doesn't matter to me. I wouldn't want to have to stand before God and acknowledge that I had trampled the blood of Jesus Christ under my feet. That I didn't care enough to receive Him as my Savior, to put my trust in Him as Lord, to live a life in His name and under His Spirit. I wouldn't want to stand before God and have to say that. If you're here today, you have not made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you don't know Him as Savior and as Lord, if you're not living for Him, the word to you is very clear this morning. It's very clear. It couldn't be any clearer. While you were still a sinner, Jesus Christ died for you, just as He did for me. While you were still deep in that sin, Jesus gave His life. While you were laying on that wood altar ready to be slaughtered, Jesus was caught in the thicket, ready to give His life for you. And He did. And His lifeblood was poured out for you. God loves you. God loves you. He gave His only begotten, His beloved, in your stead. And speaking frankly, as one person to another, any man or a woman, and I'm not trying to frighten anybody, please don't misunderstand me, but I will declare the Word of God. And if it frightens you, then you better do what I'm telling you to do this morning. God having done for you what He did in Jesus Christ, any man or any woman who turns his back and his heart on that sacrifice, on that offering, on that love, deserves the worst. Did you hear what I said? Anybody who would turn his back on that kind of love deserves the worst. And we'll get it. God's not sending anybody to hell. God never prepared hell for you or for me or any other mortal man or woman. God made hell for the devil and his angels. But anyone who will not serve God, anyone that will not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, anyone that will not open their heart and receive this sacrifice of God and say, I believe that, Father. I receive that, Father. I take it unto me as my own. I put my trust in that ram in the thicket. I put my trust and confidence in Jesus. Has already condemned himself. There need be no condemnation of God. The condemnation comes from ourselves. And we sentence ourselves to a burning eternity. And that's the alternative. But God's invitation to the lost, and if you're not born again, you're lost. God's invitation to the lost is receive Jesus. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and ye shall be saved. Paul said to the man at Philippi, the jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the ram in the thicket. Take him as Savior. If you don't know Jesus today, if you have not believed on him unto salvation, I exhort you to do so now. I exhort you to do so now. Having heard the message, if you've never heard it before, you've heard it this morning. It's that simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Cast yourself upon his mercy. As we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, I invite you to receive not only the supper, I invite you to receive him. Trust in him as Lord. Claim him as Savior. Ask him for his help for you to live the kind of life he wants you to live. May we pray. Now, Father, as we approach the supper, the supper that you instituted yourself through the Lord Jesus. We approach it humbly and with reverence, knowing that it represents the Father love. We know, Father, that you expressed your love to us in Jesus. In the same way you expressed your love to Isaac through the ram. That you provided a way. That you provided a sacrifice. That you provided an avenue that we might be restored unto you. That we might be washed of our sin. That we might be cleansed. That we might be restored to fellowship and communion with you. That you made the way. You provided the path. It's not by anything that we have done, save only to believe on the name of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Father, how can we thank you other than to love you, to receive that offering, and to serve you? And this we do. Now, our Father, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we ask you to set these elements apart from the common use to which they are normally made to a holy purpose. Set them apart for this purpose this morning, Father, by the working of your Holy Spirit. And lead us and guide us as we partake. In Jesus' name, amen.